हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विर्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 119, Chapter 71, verses 29 to 45. Krishna duly welcomed by the citizens and the royal members. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Sutas, Magadhas, Gandharvas, Vandis, Gestures, and Brahmanas all glorified the lotus-eyed Lord, some reciting prayers, some dancing and singing, as mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, veenas, panavas, and gomukhas resounded. Thus surrounded by his well-wishing relatives and praised on all sides, Lord Krishna, the crest jewel of the justly renowned, entered the decorated city. Footnote 44. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, while Lord Krishna was entering the city, all the people were talking among themselves about the glories of the Lord, praising his transcendental name, quality, form, etc. The roads of Indraprastha were sprinkled with water perfumed by the liquid from elephants' foreheads, and colorful flags, golden gateways, and full water pots enhanced the city's splendor. Men and young girls were beautifully arrayed in fine new garments, adorned with flower garlands and ornaments, anointed with aromatic sandalwood paste. Every home displayed glowing lamps and respectful offerings. From the holes of the latticed windows drifted incense, further beautifying the city. Banners waved, and the roofs were decorated with golden domes on broad silver bases. Thus Lord Krishna saw the royal city of the king of the Kurus. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book, the houses were all illuminated by hundreds and thousands of lamps placed in different corners of the cornices, walls, columns, bases, and architraves. And from far away, the rays of the lamps appeared to be celebrating the festival Deepavali, a particular festival observed in the New Year's Day of the Hindu calendar. Right, so that means you put a lot of lamps. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing, is that all these lamps, it's something nice. See, nowadays we'll consider it inconvenient because we could just flick a switch and all the lights go on. But then we don't have an activity. It doesn't come out as nice. It doesn't give us nice an atmosphere. You know, it doesn't give us nice a fragrance. You know, it's so many things that it doesn't do that we miss out. So you get the flick of a switch, just like dinner. You can also put it in the microwave and get it in a flick of a switch. But it won't be the same as a properly cooked meal. Does that make sense? So there's always the aspect. So here it's like as if it was celebrating Diwali. So you can imagine what they were doing on Diwali. You know. Srila Jiva Goswami.
Mara.
Yeah.
Why isn't Diwali because they're exploding all these firecrackers and making so much noise, but this is not anything to do with that.
It's New Year's.
I thought Gopanin was New Year's.
It said here the Hindu calendar. In other words, in the Vedic calendar, then after Kartik, the next month where it starts, that's then where the year starts. You start the year there. In other words, the year starts when the demigods wake up. Like, because through Kartik they're sleeping, and then after Kartik then they get up. And so from that time, that's when it's counted. So when Diwali is, then that's the time when the New Year's is. That's the, you could say, is the, you know, your standard Vedic New Year. Then for us, as how you say, devotees of Lord Chaitanya, then for us, Gaur Purnima, then that starts the new year. You understand? You know, so like this, the Bengalis, then the first of Vaishak, that's their new year. So different communities and this and that, then it's there. You know,
it's
how they,
the same time.
Yeah, how they pick the first of, you know, January is the new year. I'm not sure unless that's a Roman thing or a Greek thing, you know, that they did like that. Because also you can take it from the, I'm not sure if anyone takes it from Sankranti, you know, the Makara Sankranti. I don't think there's a new year celebration there. So, you know, like that you have.
After Kerala,
Pongal, Sankranti.
Oh, okay, so for them, but is that start of the new year, or that's just Pongal?
No, that is Pongal. I don't know, mostly, as well as I heard, that is their new year.
That's their new year.
And okay. Then Diwali is for Gujarati still.
Still, they follow them.
Yeah. Gujarat. They follow Diwali as well.
Yeah, because that's also when the calendar starts, because Kartik's considered the 12th month. And then the next one, what's Agrayan or whatever?
Margashirsha.
Then that's the...
Same Agrayan, also the same name.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then that's the beginning of the new year.
Okay. So they're not doing that to welcome Lord Ram back from the war.
That also is there. Deepavali happens to be that also.
No, I mean the explosion.
No, it's just because you can do it, so that's what you do. You can make noise, so why you want. That's at some point you can make some noise.
Firecrackers are like Vedic proper celebration, like Guru's birthday, firecracker, something like that. Is it like something? Or is it like a modern thing?
Firecrackers?
Yeah. It's like a Vedic thing, bonafide.
Well, seeing that the Chinese invented them, I'm not sure how Vedic it is. Yeah. But, you know, it works. You know, you got lamps, it's fire, firecracker, it's fire. You know, it's just one looks nice and one makes a lot of noise. If it's done right, it looks also okay. But. It's just a local. It's not a... Srila Jiva Goswami adds, taking the opportunity of the Lord's entrance to the city, Sukadeva describes the city's auspiciousness in two verses. The roads were completely drenched in water, fragrant with sandalwood and the natural mudda from elephants. The city especially shone, the Rajamanam, with men and women having shining limbs, dressed in new cloth for this occasion. Each house had lamps and incense coming through the lattices. Among all the Kurus with great wealth, Yudhishthira's city was most attractive because he was dearest to Krishna. Because he being dear to Krishna, his opulence is with greater. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, just because Lakshmi is there. Like that. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. When the young women of the city heard that Lord Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure for human eyes, had arrived, they hurriedly went onto the royal road to see him. They abandoned their household duties and even left their husbands in bed. And in their eagerness, the knots of their hair and garments came loose. The royal road being quite crowded with elephants, horses, chariots, and foot soldiers, the women climbed to the tops of their houses where they caught sight of Lord Krishna and his queens. The city ladies scattered flowers upon the Lord, embraced him in their minds, and expressed a heartfelt welcome with broadly smiling glances. Right, so it appears that they went to go out on the road, but then the problem was it's just too crowded with elephants and this and that, so they went up on the roof. Srila Jiva Goswami, yeah. So they embraced him in their minds and expressed a heartfelt welcome with broadly smiling glances. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, the women directly saw Krishna surrounded by elephants, etc., in profusion. Later, to see him clearly, they climbed on the roof in order to sprinkle flowers. With their glances and excellent smiles indicating their attraction, Utsmaya, they welcomed him, seeming to say, how are you, in order to please him. The welcome took place by their intense glances. This is how Sridhar Swami explains it. Or, welcoming can refer to general reception of a guest. or they welcomed him especially in order to reveal their sentiments. The Dadahu. And so you have all these different aspects. That's welcoming by their nice glances. They're revealing their sentiments in the process. They're welcoming a guest that is there. You know, all these different aspects are. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Observing Lord Mukunda's wives passing on the road like stars accompanying the moon, the women explained, "What have these ladies done so that the best of men bestows upon their eyes the joy of his generous smiles and playful sidelong glances?" Srila Jiva Goswami comments, "The women of the palace saw on the road the wives accompanying Krishna. In order that Krishna could enter the palace, they all left the road and came outside onto side streets. The wives moved along with Krishna just as stars move along with the moon. They obtained only a glimpse of him since he was surrounded by great personalities. Thus, they envied the queens, right, who can get closer glances because otherwise they couldn't get. What have they done so that he, the best of men, completely distributes a tanoti to them an excellent smile or a smile that gives all bliss, udara, and special happiness, utsava, or playful side glances, since, being the best of men, he is most suitable for service because of his beauty and qualities. Though he was capable of various sweet pastimes, only his glances described, since even by that they understood that he was most rare to obtain, or they did not want to show boldness." Right, so you only have to discuss up to that much because it's already attractive and the mind is absorbed, or they didn't want to be too bold and say more than that. So they're appreciating that being able to render service to Krishna, you know, in a steady way, than the how special that is. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "In various places, citizens of the city came forward holding auspicious offerings for the Lord, and sinless leaders of occupational guilds came forward to worship the Lord." Right, so we've already had the Pandavas, we've already had, you know, the senior members of the city and the Brahmins, and then, you know, all other persons like this, and the women of the palace and others, then they came forward. Now that the, you know, from the citizens from the city, you know, various who would be prominent amongst the citizens and who would be the head of guilds and things like that. So these would be, you could say, your common people. So everybody has come forward. Krishna is greeting everybody. So the devotees, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Shudras, everybody is being represented in this welcoming and Krishna interacting with them. Right? So that makes sense. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book.
Maharaj, you said devotees. So they're not all devotees?
But the aspect of how is it that the Pandavas could come first before, let's see, the senior other members of the city?
Because they're his close friends?
Even that's not quite enough. Like that. It's because of the devotional aspect and being friends.
Oh, so they're more devotees than
they're the best of devotees there. Everyone's devotees. Oh, otherwise, okay. Why are they all coming forward?
Yeah.
But they're the best of devotees.
Okay.
We read that yesterday too.
Yes. Yes.
Said how it different gradations.
Oh yes. And it's about the Dwarkavasis are all devoted, and then best among them was Uddhava, but then better than him was the Pandavas. You know, so then, yeah. While Lord Krishna was passing on the road, at intervals some of the opulent citizens, who were all rich, respectable, and freed from sinful activities, presented auspicious articles to the Lord, just to offer him a reception to the city. Thus they worship him as humble servitors. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues. Right, so, yeah. So the rich persons and the people from the guilds, and that represents then all the general citizens. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, with wide open eyes, the members of the royal household came forward in a flurry to lovingly greet Lord Mukunda. and thus the Lord entered the royal palace. When Queen Prita saw her nephew Krishna, the master of the three worlds, her heart became filled with love. Rising from her couch with her daughter-in-law, she embraced the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. She had special affection since he was her nephew and the cause of joy for the three worlds. In expectation of seeing the Lord, she had previously gone to the main palace and sat there. Then on seeing him, because of intense prema, she was unable to rise from her seat. But somehow or another, she managed to do so. She embraced him. It is later mentioned that Draupadi, however, was standing behind with bowed head out of great respect. She was present with Kunti, but did not embrace Krishna. Shabda Smriti also agrees with this interpretation. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. King Yudhishthira respectfully brought Lord Govinda, the supreme god of gods, to his personal quarters. The king was so overwhelmed with joy that he could not remember all the rituals of worship. Right, because then you go through, and intellectually you go through all the things you remember and all that, because the memory is part of the intelligence. So he's being overwhelmed in prema, so it's not necessarily intelligence is functioning. It's about the tasting of the prema. So then sometimes he forgets which things go where, what to do, or things like that. So for Krishna, then this is fine. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Though he was to be known only by words, Krishna was now visible to the senses, Govindam, right? Because the Vedas give him in the words, and then by those words, right, through his names, then we can start to get an understanding. Right? So then being absorbed in those names, then that takes us to the form, that takes us to the qualities, that takes us to the pastimes. So, but here it's so nice, he's just personally present.
About the Draupadi didn't go to embrace the Krishna, is the Chinese or is like inappropriate?
No, it's just that she's in a respectful mood. Because they're all connected with the Dwarka Leela, so that they're in that mixed sweetness and majesty. So it's just a matter of which they're feeling at the time. So then Kunti had difficulty getting up because of her ecstasy, and Draupadi, she can't, you know, move forward because of her ecstasy. So it's just, I wouldn't worry about those things. It's just all Anubhavas and so on. Though he was to be known only by words, Krishna was now visible to the senses, Govindam. He was most rare, Lord of Brahma and other devatas, Deva Devesham. Yudhishthira respected him. Or, Krishna asked, why are you so confounded, running here and there? I am dependent on you. Enough of this attempt at worshipping me. Just sit comfortably and let me gaze at you for some time. Right? So it's like, you know, it's all these things that it goes on. Because he just wants to sit and talk with them, but he's going through the ritual, he's calm, and this, and, you know, all this. And, yeah, just sit down. In this matter, in many ways, he was respected, Adritaha, by Krishna. As a king, Nripaha, he possessed all assistance to perform worship properly with all its elements, but he could not remember what to do since he was overcome with joy. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Krishna bowed down to his aunt and the wives of his elders, O king, and then Draupadi and the Lord's sister bowed down to him. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Seeing that others, confused out of joy, could not greet each other properly, he also did not observe the rules. He offered respects to the wives of his elders. He did this. He did not include Draupadi, but the wives of Yudhishthira and Bhima. Or it means the wives of the priests. Krishna, who attracted all hearts, even in following protocol, greeted them. O Parikit, it is fortunate that you have been born in such a family, or Krishna shone because of his manifest qualities, or because he shed tears of prema. Right? So because they didn't get into all that, the rituals there, he didn't sit there expecting them all. You know, just whatever they did, he reciprocated that. What they left out, he just, you know, finessed. Right? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, encouraged by her mother-in-law, Draupadi worshipped all of Lord Krishna's wives, including Rukmini, Satyabhama, Bhadra, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravinda, the descendant of Shivi, the chaste. The chaste Nagnajiti and the other queens of the Lord who were present. Draupadi honored them all with such gifts of clothing, flower garlands, and jewelry. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Draupadi was encouraged by Kunti, who supplied her with assistance and appropriate items for worship. Some choditaha. Chodita means to do with worship. Okay. The word cha indicates that she also worshipped their daughters and the wives of their sons. Okay, their daughters and the wives of their sons. She worshipped each one with all methods of worship, sarvasaha. So here we see is that all this worship is going on, but how it's going on? It's going on not in the public, but inside the palace, in their own area. And who is it being done by? It's done by all the other ladies there. So that respect is there and all the niceness is there. Right? So because that's not going on, so then, you know, because how you say? Yeah, whatever, it's not going on, so then now it's the thing is the way you go out into public to try to get that respect and recognition and all that. But that's because it's not going on properly in the home. Yeah. Right? Or in their social environment. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So it means it's if you have the proper qualities and then there, so she can then do all this. They're not jealous, they're not envious, they're not, you know, all these different things. So then they can interact nicely. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can we say here that Krishna owes the queen unexpected guest?
Like that, but they're also, you could say they're not necessarily. Because that specifically means Brahmins. Atiti specifically means Brahmin. But you have the element that he is the Supreme Lord. So you have that aspect. So he's always worshipable. And then because of his natural position and all that coming after a long time, then all these arrangements can be made also. You know? So even great personalities, when they come after a long time, then you do all the things. But if they come after a short time, I think it's like after 1 year. You know, so it's like, let's say the guru comes after a year, you do a big kind of thing. But if he comes, let's say, again after 6 months, then, you know, you proper reception and the moods and everything, but you don't have to make it as elaborate an arrangement. You know what I'm saying? You know, you just come to the temple, maybe wash the feet, do whatever, you know, simple things you do rather than decorate the whole thing and do all that. That you do if it's more rare. It's that Manu mentions that. You know, so the argy is something is done once a year, on a year. It's not, you won't do it if they come regularly. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. But the Lord, that you can do. So here you have the combination of coming after a rare time. He's the Supreme Lord, and he's a dear relative, so they want to do all these things. So all these gifts and that here is just because they want to give. You know, it's not formal. What Yudhishthira was trying to do was the formal thing, but he couldn't do it because of his joy, and Krishna wasn't, you know, he says, don't worry about it.
His affection, yes.
Yeah. So the affection is the more. Outside, you see, that was more of the formal, but with the ladies, then it's more informal. It's more the affectionate aspect. So that's not done in the publicly, it's done in a more private. So these things, it's just a matter of where it can be, because if it's in public, then, you know, people are, you know, why this is going on. You know, like here, is that, here, they're seeing the queens, right, the other ladies, and thinking, oh, how fortunate they are. Krishna's so attractive, and so he's the perfection. And so how fortunate they are to have Krishna as a husband, where they get this constant interaction. Right? But if you're in an environment where they'll go, why them? Then it's not supposed to be done. So that's the difference, is that within that environment where relationship can be properly expressed, that's where it goes on. So this modern thing of bringing everything out into the public, you can do it, but you won't get any taste from it anyway. You know, it's just like, okay, the fancy meal and this and that. Now, if I took that fancy, you know, that really nice table and the tablecloth, all the settings and all that, and this fabulous, you know, so many course meal and all that, and I set you up in the middle of the highway, you know, could you sit there and very pleasantly go on and You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. It is the, it's just the, it's a nice meal, but it's the wrong environment. So this whole thing of projecting everything into the external environment, and then considering that that, that will, you'll get a taste for that. That's why there is no taste. That's why more and more you have to, you didn't, you don't get the taste. So you have to break down more rules to try to get the taste there. And so that just because you're breaking a rule, it'll give you a taste. But the environment itself, performing this private activity in a public environment, won't give you a taste. So it just, they keep going after, and then, you know, at some point they'll run out of things. Then what? You know, then it'll be the new thing. Hey, we, you know, what do we care for the public? We private. I do my own thing in my own place. What do I need these people for? You know, and then it'll go the other way.
This simple, beautiful shows is considered, like, today is like redundant, like it's taking too much time and energy. It's unnecessary.
And yeah, but the point is we're saying it's unnecessary, but then everybody wants that. It's like this. Okay. Let us say you're going to the festival. Right? And that... And how long does it take you to get dressed? I rest my case. So that's the whole point, is that say what you want, it still is, all these things are there. They say no taste, no this, no that, you know, but the point is that's the nature. So that's how it works. So Krishna's made it that way. That's what pleases Krishna. That expression of the feminine nature in this way. You know, it's just like, you know, when I'm finished with the pot or with the puja paraphernalia, how do I put it down? Nicely or just toss it in the sink? Because I'm done with it. What do I need it for? I toss it in the sink. No, because it's Krishna's paraphernalia, you have to deal with it properly. So the same way as Krishna's feminine nature, you have to deal with it properly. So when we claim it's our own, we'll do it with it as we like, how we like. Then how is that religious? How will that give any satisfaction? Because unless it's religious, it doesn't really give satisfaction to the feminine nature. Because religion means the nature of how something acts. And Krishna already has his nature. So the variety, all these things are the nature of the energy. So unless it's followed, it just doesn't work. You know, say what you like, do what you like, still it's not going to work. Yes?
If Guru comes with his wife, do we worship the wife or the
house? Well, what you see here is that the women of the house would take care of the wife.
Yeah. So it's a private thing.
It's a private thing. And if it's in the house, it may be on the side. It's not that they have to drag her off in the back room. It just depends on what's happening there. If so many people are there, then you go and then sit down and give things and, you know, talk and all these things like that. So it's just a matter of where it can be done. Now, if it's just the guru and his wife come to your house only, you know, like that, then right there, then you know, you take care of him and all these kind of things like that. The women take care of the guru's wife, and then it works nicely. It just depends on the atmosphere. Does that make sense? So he comes into the palace, but it's only when he goes into where Draupadi and Kunti is, that's when you see is that this is going on. So even in the front of the palace, because then you have all the servants and other people that will be there. You know, the Brahmins and all the Vandis and everybody else. Is that So it's just a matter of what is the right environment for these to work. But then you have to have the thing is that you have to have this mood of service and submission that one woman's willing to respect another woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah, so the point is therefore, is the problem totally the men? The men are jerks. That's a given. But it's not that the women are squeaky clean. You know? So it's like that, because otherwise they won't respect other women for what they have. You know, so therefore it's you know, it can't work as a social function. You're dealing with less than human nature. You know. And so then it doesn't necessarily work. If you agree you like the person, it works, but it's not because of etiquette. Is that something? Yeah, so that's the difficulty we're dealing with. Here's that without training, then it doesn't work. So that's the whole point of all these things. If they're there, then everything being looked for is there. But because we don't accept the culture, it's not there, then we try to turn to whatever's the contemporary way of trying to get it, and they're unsatisfied. So if they're unsatisfied and they're totally committed to it, why would we be satisfied when we're just kind of playing with it? You know, we can't totally commit ourselves to it because we know it's not exactly right. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that if we don't accept the culture, you won't get the human experience. So depending upon what kind of subhuman you are and what kind of subhumans you're dealing with, you'll get that kind of experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the human experience, which we're looking for, you'll only get if you practice as it says here. Right? And they're doing it in connection to Krishna, and so therefore then it gives the transcendental experience along with it. In other words, you get the spiritual and the religious at the same time. But to try to get the religious experience from irreligion, or get the religious experience from not performing religion, how is that going to work? How am I going to get the taste of a good meal by cooking something bad or by not cooking at all? It doesn't make any sense, but that's the modern system. That's what they're trying to do. So it's sad. So that's why Prabhupada gave these things. It's so that we can stop being so sad.
This was your point on Sunday class. Brother Shantra will make a question about being more expert and you get
yes.
more surrender.
Yeah, because the point is the surrender. You can be as expert as you want, but it doesn't mean that you'll have a community feeling. And you say, oh, it's all about, you know, sustenance or maintenance. Maintenance is in the present. So what do you do in the present? How do you define that? You say, oh, it's all about... Before they were into preaching and all that, when did they do the preaching? The individuals at the time, they were doing it at the present. And about Krishna. So they were on the transcendental platform. So they were functioning in pure goodness. Right? As far as the direct activities of devotional service goes. The indirect, then they didn't know about that or were too, you know, not purified enough, you know, on that platform to appreciate, and so then they didn't follow the culture any more than what they themselves would do. And so, and then looking at that now, then we're saying, oh, they were uncultured and all that, and so that's the whole thing. They did the preaching, yeah, that's nice, but, you know, the culture and all this, and that's the real thing, that's what's really going to satisfy devotees. No, Krishna consciousness is. Because if the material society was so fabulous, then why is anybody from over that side of India joining? Because if their community is so fabulous, it's like, give me a break. They join because it's dog eat dog, you know? And so they're tired of it. And so that's why they join. And then now to fall back into that, that's Punar Musika Baba. It's just a fall down. But they're trying to make it look great. So the whole point is that you have to accept the culture, but they'll only accept the culture from the modern. Difference being is the culture they're accepting is the burnt remnants of the Vedic, while in the West is the just burnt remnants. No. So, left over what, you know, Henry VIII tossed aside, or, you know, Louis left in a closet somewhere, and they found now, whoa, you know, yeah. Yeah. That's it. So, that's it. So then that becomes the problem, is that one comes to Krishna consciousness, one takes it up, one gets into those direct activities, because that's what gives the taste, because you didn't have a taste from all the secondary. But then after a few years, you become, you know, adjusted to it. And because we tend to look at devotional service as secondary, we don't take it that the primary is primary. We only see the external form of the primary and then see it as secondary. And then see, okay, we're doing these secondary items, but we have to do all these other secondary items also. And then accepting that, then we see them on equal level. So the direct and indirect we take is the same. And then they don't make a distinction. Then they focus on the indirect, though not in connection with Krishna.
you know, they'll say ultimately, well, if you're not nice and, you know, people won't like us, they won't come to Krishna consciousness, and that if that's the case, then how did they come back in the 80s? You know? Like that. You know, so it's a point like that. How'd they come in the 60s, 70s? If it was so crash and burn, you know, how did they join? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Mm. It shows it doesn't make any sense. All it is trying to make, put a veneer on material attachment. When the point is community development, Prabhupada wanted. It's part of the purposes of ISKCON. Mm. But it's not being done from that angle. It's being done from the modern angle. Because you're using the modern value system, the modern approaches, not the Vedic system and Vedic values and approach. Mm. You know? Doesn't mean you can't engage. That's yukta vairagya. But you have to remember, yukta means it is connected to Krishna, so you're seeing it from that platform only. And vairagya means you're not attached to the results. But here we see neither yukta nor vairagya. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll do Bombay stuff. They won't do Delhi stuff, they won't do Madras stuff, they won't do Calcutta stuff. They'll just do Bombay stuff. So how is it just maintenance? How is it just, you know, sustainability? No, it's just being who they were before they joined. Does that make sense? So it means underlying. So now, doesn't mean that there's not something good here to work with. Because you are working with burnt remnants, you have more to work with and just burnt. You know. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that there's something you can work with. You know, I have, let's say, a good piece of furniture that was in a fire, but, you know, by sanding it, taking off the old paint and varnish, and I can bring it back to normal. But if I just have a pile of ashes, there's not a lot to work with. You know what I'm saying? So that's the advantage, but that's not their glory. That's still the Vedic glory, because even now, with so much effort to get rid of it, still there's so much left. It's so perfect. Does that make sense? So if that's seen, and then we use it in that way, and that way then we cultivate and all that, then it becomes fabulous. But if we start to oppose the foundation to the movement, what the movement's for, saying that our sustainability and our community, you know, maintenance is actually the real thing. And then, you know, just like, they'll again become mice.
Once I was preaching to the one senior member of the group which we were preaching to, after the presentation, said, in the past, you called attention how you left everything to surrender to God. And now, it seems that from what you're telling that surrendered people looking for jobs. So that's interesting to observe.
Yeah. These people noticed that. It was very interesting. Someone said it was, I forget what it was. It was, you know, something, a 40th anniversary or something of Prabhupada doing a program at Harvard, you know, in their religious department. He came and did a program there. And it was very interesting is that one of the professors, just saying what he said then and what he was saying here, and what is all along he's been saying the same thing the whole time, the last 40 years, is that the devotees, now that they've taken up this Vedic tradition, they should look into the tradition and try to understand that and apply that in their life. You know, like that. And so here's just a karmi professor, and he can see is that you've taken the philosophy, take the life, take everything with it. Then you know, that's how it's going to work nicely. You know what I'm saying? It's like you know fabulous cooking techniques, but you're not trying to improve the quality of your kitchen. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's the, you know, and somehow or another that's just not caught. You know, so even the karmis can see that. And they appreciate that. They may not do it. We're taking it. No, what would they want to do? No, it's what they will respect and appreciate. That's what you do. Because that's what leadership is you can't do it, but you have that inspiration, you make that as your goal, and you gradually work towards that. So maybe this lifetime they take up devotional service. But even if not, if they respect and appreciate it in the next life or the life after. But if it's just what they're going to do, they're already doing it. What do they need us for? You know? Does that make sense? You know, there's other people who are going to be more influential, you know? like that. You know, the celebrities and other people like that, talk show people, that they're already doing that. And so what do they say? That means they'll go along, they'll say what they think according to what the people will buy. So that's already going on. We don't have to do that. We have to say what is actually the Vedic version, and in a way, in wording in that, that they'll understand it and appreciate it. Does that make sense? Then they change. Like that. So, you know, if somebody's smart, they can see that. Like that. So that's the whole point. It's being professed that, no, this is how intelligent people would see it. No, actually, real intelligent people don't see it like that. They wonder why you're changing your standards. Why, you know, you guys were so, you know, we were famous for the Hare Krishnas. You know, we're out there in the bed sheets. We don't know how to dress nicely, you know, but we're out there singing and dancing in the streets. And that's what inspired and impressed people. You know, they may laugh about it, joke about it, but that's the point. They were thinking about us. You know, and they accepted that that's the way we were. You know, and now we're the professional this and that, and like, who talks about us? It's like, who cares? You know, are we going to show up in an Armani suit? You know? And that's just, you know, the good guys, you know. If you really want to impress, it better be bespoke. You know? I don't think that's happening.
We can see that Srila Prabhupada, he, even though nobody knew anything about the culture, but because he was giving like Krishna consciousness with love and care, because I hear from Srila Prabhupada memories, even though this signature is talking about Srila Prabhupada, they often say that they felt that Srila Prabhupada really cared about them. So they took the everything, you know, the essence of Krishna consciousness and also the culture. So what is lack now, maybe is trying to just impose the rules, and but it's not enough care or affection for the devotees.
Yeah, I mean, that aspect is there, but when we say rules, what rules? Because the ones that are, you either have those who are imposing Vedic rules without understanding the actual purpose or cultural aspect of the rules and philosophical connection and worship of Krishna. Or you have those who reject all of that and impose their own modernistic rules with the same problem, that they don't actually see any connection to Krishna. So both these parties, the more modernists and the more traditionalists, they're both having this problem because it's all Niyamagraha. So what Prabhupada was presenting was pure devotional service. So because it's connected to Krishna, it's Krishna that's important. So anything connected to him, the devotees are connected. That's why then they're taken care of. But nowadays we just see it as rules. So it's not about Krishna and the connection with Krishna and the, like that. That's not what's creating community. Mm-hmm. Creating community is, you know, equal rights and facility and, maintenance and, you know, like this kind of thing. It's an economic, social, political platform. So that's not going to inspire anyone because it doesn't actually support anyone. It's impersonal. So it's not about an individual. Well, the Vedic system, you see, it's personal. They're interacting on the personal platform. It's rules, but it's personal. So the modern context is, if it's rules, it can't be personal. And if it's whimsical, then it's personal. And so therefore, it's like people don't even... They don't even have feet. They've shot themselves in the foot so much. You know, it's like, you know, so that's the difficulty, is that what they're saying is exactly opposite of what works. They're taking an element that's a good element, but they're going against the natural application, and the application they're giving is opposite of what can actually give the real result. You know. Does that make sense? Let's say, okay, you are serving prasad to a guest, and you're being very encouraging. It's nice prasad. You're being very encouraging, and so they eat so much that afterwards they can't function very nicely, right? Yeah, whatever. You know, instead, you know, so like this. So now, observing this,
then this Vedic system is not good. Because see, people are overeating, and they're going to get sick, and they're going to get diabetes, and they're going to get this and that, and just go on and 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 on. Come back 3 days later, and on and on and on and on, like this. And so, therefore, one is that, you know, what are the problems here? One, they're eating too much. So should we just give, you know, very selected portions and all that? You know, so however we do that, so how do we want to do that? Okay, we'll bring it out already there, or we'll use really small spoons, or, you know, in other words, they'll find out something like that. Then we find that still they eat a lot, but it takes a lot longer. So then now we can, why don't we reduce the quality of the food? Because they're too interested, so there's too much lust and all that, and lust is bad for devotional service. So therefore, if we make the food so it doesn't taste good, that will be devotional service, because then they'll be austere and they'll be like that and all that. And so now how to do that, because we're also, you know, worried about the health in that. Oh, hey, we'll use health food. That'll definitely do it. You know, that'll get both things, right? So now we'll do that, and then you know, I'm making a difference between healthy food and health food. Like that. So then like this, and then, you know, we still see it's a problem and all this and that, and then also it's that, you know, we have to spend so much time and energy and so much sentiment and so much this, but we're not, you know, sentimentalists, we're devotees, you know, we're just fixed in devotional service here. So we should just come by, serve once, and that, not get into all this and that. Otherwise, then why is it he's the servant and, you know, they're the master and you're the servant, and like that, we're all equal, so they'll just, you know, serve all the plates out and everyone will come and sit down, and then what you got there is, that's all you get. You understand? That's the modern approach to trying to make the Veda, you know, like that. Absolutely useless.
But after we can make a buffet.
Yeah, so it comes out to a buffet, and then, you know, they say, funny part, I think in Australia, they have a term. If someone's not so smart, they call them a boof head. No?
Buffet.
Yeah, it's like that. It's a buffoon. So it's a buffet. And so so that's there's a connection there. The root word, you know, like that. So whatever. So the idea being is that we see a fault and we take something that seems like good. Oh, we're only worried about their health, or we're only worried about their Krishna consciousness, or we're only worried about, you know, everybody being able to take part, you know, nicely. Otherwise, some people are serving, they don't get to take part in the program like that because they have to make the arrangements, so they miss out and like that. Nobody should miss out. So seemingly it's nice about good qualities and, you know, caring for the devotees, but ultimately we see it's actually, it gets exactly the opposite done. So, in other words, it's not that it's a nice people render service and in this way everybody becomes happiest, in this way nobody becomes happy. So, because we're not becoming happy by our own culture because we've thrown it out by modernistic culture, then we have to look in the modernistic culture for where do they get the taste, because there's no taste here. You know, so then the food changes, the things change, what we wear changes, how we deal changes. And everything keeps changing, trying to keep up with the modern trends, which are, you know, seemingly give people happiness, but they don't. It's the thought. It's what Prahlad Maharaj calls Shruti Sukhat, the heard about happiness. Oh, if you wear this, that, then you'll be happy. So then you go, you get the money, you go out and buy these things, you get all these things, but it doesn't make you happy. You know, so by the time you figure out you're not happy, the next fashion's already come out, the next fashion in food, the next fashion in dress, the next fashion in culture or interaction or, you know, how you work at the business or, you know, whatever it is. You know, it comes out when the old one is obvious that it's useless. And so then, like that, it's just, what do you call it? The example of the deer running in the desert after the mirage. You know, at some point they die of thirst. That's just the way it works. And then we'll claim that now we're totally frustrated. The Vedic doesn't work because we tried it. So we tried it? Are you kidding me?
Sounds really funny, but actually we had direct experience going to Kirtan festival. There was vegan prasadam, not enough. And the festival was 6 hours just talking about kirtan and only 2 hours kirtan. So that was like complete frustration.
Yes.
So that's why before means the Vedic system, you know, when you're dealing with the Lord, the Pancharatrik system at least, is every day is a festival. So, yeah, what to do? Because it's all about organizing and this and that. It's not about these details. Because details are considered, you know, not important. It's the big management and all that. So you can't get enough prasad, can't get it served. And the fun part, there's not enough prasad, but still, because it's so badly served, it's still left over. Yeah. So everyone goes hungry, and there's still leftover prasad that gets wasted. And so then what happens? The guys that had the meeting that weren't there for the serving or the eating or all this thing, they'll look at it and go, oh, okay. So then they'll cut it down again. I've even watched that. I've watched that. I've seen them come out, look in the buckets, and the next day how much was there, that's much as less. So that's the benefits of the modern system is that one is, how you say, so separated from the reality, but claiming that you know the real reality, you know, it's like a, yes.
Since we are talking about it, I put another example when there was a festival and only vegan prasadam was there. It was not allowed to.
It means you couldn't bring other prasad and eat?
No, it was ordered to cook only vegan for that festival. Only vegan. It was like to please those who are vegan.
Yeah, well, that's nice. You know, so that means you support the vegans, when are we going to support the cows? Because vegan doesn't support cows. I just saw a thing put up by, I think it was by the vegans. About how the vegan diet will you know, by if everyone switched to a vegan diet, you could feed something like 350 million more people. Because all the land that's there for cows and all that, you take all that and just put it into farmland. Sounds great, doesn't it? But what do you do with the cows? The vegans never discuss that point. Never, ever. Because they don't care about cows. That's the whole point. We're following as if they're doing something great. Vegans don't like cows. It means you just leave them, go back to wherever they go. But where do cows go? Right? They go back to, you know, the North Pole, or, you know, they go back to the Amazon and everything like that. And, you know, I mean, where do they go? Pradhan. Pradhan. Yeah, because how you say? I say earth being, you know, the original thing, you go back to Pradhan, and then earth is represented by the cow, so the cow's going to go back to Pradhan. So in other words, it's not about cows. It's a political statement that you want to be political because you don't want to take political parties, and that it seems mundane, so we'll take, you know, the cow aspect, but it's not about the cows. Like that. You know what I'm saying? Because much of these programs happen like at farms or communities. And so, as part of it, is anybody doing anything with the cows? No. So it's not about that. It's not about cows. Like that. You know what I'm saying? There's certain individuals it's about. Individuals who have run goshalas, take care of their cows, do nicely about the cows, and they're trying to make other people aware, and they're using the vegan platform to make others aware, then they have some position. But everybody else, it's like, where's the support for cows? You know, in other words, we don't see village people being vegans. It's only city people who have nothing to do with cows. In other words, their life could go on perfectly without cows. You know, but you know, what about all those abused almonds that made their almond milk? Yeah.
I hear some arguments for some leaders that they say that before, when they don't have this vegan sha, it was so much less people staying for sha and for the program. But now with the vegan sha, it's so much people that have the benefit of listening to sha.
Right. Yeah. And so then they'll get everybody onto the platform of being a neophyte devotee, and they'll never get them to the Mandima platform. Mm-hmm. So therefore, at means they have a vegan thing. If you had a vegan thing and you had a vegetarian thing, then the devotees could take the vegetarian. The guests who worry about it, they could take the vegan. But where's the vegetarian? It's not there. We have to remember, Krishna likes dairy products. And they are his cows. Right? So even if people aren't dealing with them nicely, they're still his cows. Right? It's just like this. Let us say your son, we're talking about Karmi school, okay? Your son goes to Karmi school and he gets beat up every day when he goes to Karmi school. Right? So now, are you, as a mother who's strong on the point of no bullying at school, you're not going to deal with your son until this bullying stops? Does that make any sense at all on the platform of relationship? Makes zero sense. That's the vegan philosophy. Because the Karmis, their point is never to have anything to do with cows. It's not that when everybody deals with cows properly, they'll drink milk. No, they're never going to drink milk. In fact, they don't like vegetarians, but they consider vegetarians better than meat eaters. But if it's up to them, they'll get rid of vegetarians, as we see is going on. So it's an atheistic position. It's an atheistic consideration. It's not a devotional consideration. They can say it's preaching, but then, yeah, okay, for the Karmis, have vegan. And any devotee will say, great, but you should have the vegetarian. But they're not having. So I don't consider that it's really about the preaching. And, more people are taking prasad? Okay, great. So what are you offering to Krishna? Are you offering vegetarian and the vegan because they want to eat the vegan? It's just like we'd offer the khichdi for the mass distribution to Radha Madhava. Does that mean we don't offer Radha Madhava all the other stuff? So is that going on or no? Krishna's just getting the vegan. I've heard people saying, no, Krishna wouldn't want to eat these. These cows are abused. They're his cows. We think we're the doers. So therefore, until, that guy stops doing it, then it's not. They're Krishna's cows. Otherwise, what's the preaching? The preaching is about compassion. And if they say, oh, it's about the senses, it says, well, yours is just about political. You have that political taste and that need for that, and that gives you life. Otherwise, chanting Hare Krishna doesn't do it for you. So, hey. Because if the only reason they're coming to the what do you call it? The kirtan mail is because it's vegan food, there's a problem. A serious problem. Because they could bring their own food. So there's some problems here. But it's not seen because Maya is very clever. She first covers, then she throws. So you don't even know it. So, because it's taken on a political form, I don't find that it's getting the effect that they say it's for, because I don't see that the taking care of cows in any of our communities is improving because of the vegans. Right? Only those who, as I said, they take care of their cows and all that. But it's not. It means devotees that say are vegans here in Mayapur, are they going and doing service at the Goshala to take care of cows? No, never. That's the point. Vegans don't care about cows. It's just a nice political stand. Because if they get too, upset about Trump or this or that, it's kind of hard to say it's devotional. The cows now I can jump up and down about. Something.
But I think the worst thing is that we hear that from our leaders.
It doesn't matter. The point is the leaders are saying it because everybody else is doing it. Is it only the leaders that are vegan? It's everybody else who's vegan. That's the whole point. So the leaders just go with it. So you have to give up also your inability to accept the principle of authority. Like that. And so therefore it's their fault? No, they're just going with the flow. That's the fault. Not that they're saying this. But if they don't go with the flow, no one listens. So therefore, then where's the pure devotional service? So that's what you have to speak. Pure devotional service has to be the point that's being spoken. The point is the cow, we won't get into it, because people just blame like that. So because it's a political issue, it won't be seen on the platform of Dharma or on the platform of Bhakti. It'll just be a political issue. And so the fighting on that platform will be very, very bad. So you don't want to bring up Prabhupada and Krishna, because then they'll blame them. Mm-hmm. So, because it's a political issue. Mm-hmm. like that. You know, so it's just a thing. It's an identity and all that. It's not that you care. Mm-hmm. So,
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Salaveta Bhakti ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada.